Revelation chapter 10, as we began in our last time in Revelation together, is an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet judgments. And remember, we talked about how this interlude was almost a refreshment for us as a reader and for John, who is receiving these visions of horrific judgment after judgment after judgment. We talked about how this interlude included several things. It had that angel that had 1 foot in the sea and 1 foot on the land and raised his hands to heaven and declared that God is supreme over all. We saw that the seven thunders took place, but yet there was just mystery. It's a mystery of what they are, and John was not to write them down. We also saw that the seventh trumpet judgment is going to mark the completion of the mystery of God as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. That there will be no more time for the creation to persist in its sin-cursed trajectory. God is bringing things to his planned completion. He will have fully established his authority upon the earth over all things created. That the reality that our world is under a sin-cursed trajectory, that was a powerful thought for me. But the point of this chapter 10 and especially verses 6 and 7, is that it won't always be that way. And that this sin-cursed trajectory of this earth is going to come to a halt by the plan and the power, the supremacy of God. And this is a blessing and an encouragement to John and to us in the church who are reading this, the churches in Asia who are reading this for the very first time and just being reminded that, yes, God has a plan, and that plan does include horrific judgments of this earth. But it culminates with him ruling and reigning. I thought it would be fitting for us, and this may be all we get to today, but I believe it will be a blessing to our hearts, to take some time and notice in the book of Revelation just exactly how this coming to an end is described, how this mystery of God comes to a completion. It is stated several different ways, several times throughout the book of Revelation. And I thought it would be fitting for us to take a moment and recognize these together. To begin, I want you to again look at chapter 10, verse 6. And the angel swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Or there should be no more delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And so John receives that encouragement. It's going to come to a completion. It's going to be finished. We notice that this is under the umbrella of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the seventh angel. This interlude completes itself in chapter 11 and verse 14. Notice what that says in chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, shall small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. What are you seeing here? This is yet another description of the end, of what this is going to be like. And you see the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Our Lord, our Kyrios, our Master, and of our Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, and He shall reign forever and ever. In chapter 12, I want you to notice verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Again, we're seeing Christ as supreme. Chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Notice there again that reference to the earth, to the sea, and to the heavens. God is supreme. Verse 15 of the same chapter, we read, And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in your sickle, and reap, for the time is come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. There's coming time of great judgment, of reaping this harvest. Chapter 15 and verse 4, Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for thy judgments are made manifest. And you're seeing that God's plan is coming to this completion, to this final end, when the sin-cursed trajectory of this earth is closed, and God's rule and reign. He reigns with supremacy and sovereignty over it all. Christ, King of Kings. Chapter 16 and verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial. This is one of the seven vials, seven plagues. The seventh angel pours it into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, and every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Again, things coming to completion. Chapter 17, verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. So just more, it gives us more of this glimpse of, yes, everything is coming to a completion, but there is a people that stand with the Lord in victory. That stand, or they're called, or they're chosen, they're faithful. What a blessing it is to know these things. Chapter 18 and verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. The judgment of Babylon. And we see it is final. It is complete. And then, of course, chapter 19 and verse 11 and following, we read these words. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the king of the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And then enters into the millennium. Satan is bound, and Jesus rules, king. King upon the throne of David. Chapter 20 and verse 9 reads this, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The final battle at the close of the millennium as Satan is released, and there's one more battle. But what do we see? God devours them. Fire comes down out of heaven, and God wins. You know, church, this is our blessed hope. This is our reality as Christians. And as we've seen in this interlude in chapter 10 of Revelation, and God giving through the inspiration of the Spirit of God to John this truth, that there's no more delay, things are coming to a close. The mystery of God is coming to completion. This is a message of great hope. This is a message of encouragement for the churches of Ephesus, Laodicea, the others there in Asia. You see, this was also a message of encouragement for the people in the Old Testament. Because as you see in this text, God spoke these things to the prophets as well. And the prophets of the Old Testament knew that God would bring to a completion one day all of these things, and He would stand victorious, and His people would stand with Him. And so the Jewish nation, after the ministries of all of these prophets, have this hope in their minds. God has a plan. And if God has a plan, it will come to be, because God always keeps His promises. God always keeps His word. Keep your finger in Revelation 10, and I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a passage I was reminded of as I was contemplating and thinking of this great completion. And of course, this final chapter begins, or not the final chapter, it's chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, but it begins with a declaration of what the gospel is. And then, of course, it talks about the resurrection. And I want you to notice here in this context what Paul writes in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 24. Then cometh the end. Let's get a little bit more context so that we understand this. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that are slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And what a clear declaration that Jesus Christ has a key role in all of these things coming to a completion. Jesus Christ coming to this earth is God coming as the agent of sovereignty, is God coming to this earth and showing that power and authority upon the earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is with the Father right now, has a resurrected body who will come again one day to this earth. You know, as we studied the book of Revelation, I believe one of the most important things we need to walk away from this book is this truth: Christ is coming again. I believe this is one of the major teachings of this book, but you know what? It's easy to lose sight of it. As you get buried by all of these different judgments, as you get inundated with all of these different thoughts and ideas of what this prophecy could mean and what this is and what that is. But in reality, the truth is Jesus Christ is coming again. And this book speaks of all of that. In fact, go to Revelation chapter 19. I want to show you something that is very significant. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation 19:10, and it says this, "And I fell," this is John, "I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me," so he's falling at the feet of an angel. "And the angel says to him, see thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Now here, listen to this. "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And you might say, "Pastor, what does that mean?" Well, listen, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy means that prophecy matters because Jesus matters. You remove Jesus and all prophecy falls apart. You have Jesus and all that he says he is and the scriptures say he is, and prophecy makes sense. Prophecy has purpose. Prophecy has reason because Jesus is the life and breath of prophecy. Because all of these prophecies are pushing towards a completion, pushing towards an end. And Jesus Christ is the central figure of that end. And so, dear ones, as we go through this study, and I'm reminding myself of all of this, that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He's its breath. Prophecy breathes Jesus. When I saw that, it opened my eyes to prophecy and helped me understand that I may be flooded with all of these different prophetic things coming at me from all of these different prophetic books in the Bible. But if I keep my eyes on Christ and who he is and that he's coming again and he will reign victorious, King of kings and Lord of lords, I will understand that all prophecies come to that end. That they're pushing towards Jesus and Jesus coming again. You see, that's what happened with his first coming, isn't it? The prophecies pushed forward and he came. And many prophecies were fulfilled at his first coming. But it is interesting that they weren't all fulfilled there because Jesus is coming a second time. And so therefore, keep Jesus as a central figure of any prophecy that you study. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of studying your word. And although, God, this may not have been exactly what I had intended, I thank you for bringing out this clear reminder to us. Lord, you understood we needed to hear this. We needed to hear this body of scriptures that are read together that remind us of your supremacy and of the victory that is ours in Christ, and that you will rule and reign someday soon. And God, you understand that your church needs this encouragement. Lord, you want us to speak often of your coming again, for it is a blessed encouragement. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our head. Thank you for being our great shepherd. I, along with each one here, we submit ourselves unto you. And we submit ourselves to the word that has been declared today and to the Spirit to take the word and work it deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.